Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. Hello and welcome back to Weekend Warriors Hockey. I'm Austin and joining me today are Rick and Coach Rob. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Austin?
I'm excellent. Thanks. And Rob, welcome in. How are you doing today?
Oh, just lovely. Thanks.
All right. Well, we've entered June and it seems like hockey is coming back all across the country. I was able to actually do some stick and puck yesterday, which was a blast. We got new ice down. They actually took all the ice out, did some repairs. So some new ice where I live. It was awesome to be out there and even met up with some friends that I hadn't seen in about 3 months. And I got a league pickup game tonight as we prep to get back into the league in the next couple of weeks. So that should be fun tonight. And I think brighter horizons are out there for everybody whose seasons got cut by coronavirus. So I'm excited for all the adult hockey players out there. So let's talk a little bit about today's show. We're going to do our third player profile episode to highlight another adult hockey player who has great passion for the sport of ice hockey. And today we welcome in Sonny Chaka. Sonny, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about this.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're very excited to have you. As I mentioned before with you, before we started recording, we love having folks on who are adult hockey players who love the game. So thanks so much for joining us. So Sonny grew up in Canada and fell in love with hockey at an early age. And as you told me, you would play on the frozen roads as a kid in Western Canada up near Edmonton. So that's an awesome story. And you would play street hockey like probably a lot of Canadian kids or nearly every Canadian kid until you couldn't feel your fingers and probably your mom made you come back inside. So as you grew older, you began honing your hockey skills at the local community rinks. Now, fast forward a little bit. Sonny now resides in Southern California, where he practices dentistry for the last 25 years. He did attend a Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy camp in Lake Tahoe last May, and he does play rec league hockey for many years in Riverside, California. And finally, Sonny also has coached some youth roller hockey in Southern California for several years, and he's coached them to a championship level. So that's awesome as well to have a player and a coach who's paying it forward. And next to his wife, hockey is the love of his life. So Sonny, again, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show. Anything you want to add before we move into some questions we've got for you?
No. Yeah. My wife told me to add that last part about the, about her loving her more than hockey, but no, I'm just so glad to be here. And when you sent me that opportunity to talk about hockey, I'm like, oh man, sign me up. I'm ready to go. And had such a blast at that Tahoe camp, Rick. I still have been kind of on a euphoria from that. So
cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it that much. And I'm glad it lasted over a year.
No, I still think about it. So, and I wanted to come to the one in, you know, I think it's already been come and gone that date due to COVID, but looking forward to maybe, I think you were talking about rescheduling it in the fall. So
yeah, it is. It's rescheduled for September 17th to 20th.
Okay, cool. I'm going to mark that date up. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, Rick, I'm going to throw it over to you if you want to get us started with grilling our guest.
Okay. Well, you know, the question I always want to ask the players is, you know, what, you know, impact did, you know, coming to Weekend Warriors have on your hockey, either, you know, the way you think about hockey or the way you practice hockey or, you know, just playing and, you know, how much you enjoy the game. So anything you can offer on that, Sonny, would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole idea of, you know, I mean, we live about 6 hours from Tahoe. So my friend and I, who also attended the camp, we got in the car at the crack of dawn. It was dark outside and we piled up our stuff, loaded our hockey gear up, and we were just giddy thinking about, oh my God, we're going on a trip to go play hockey. Like, how often does that happen? Right. You know, usually it's an evening event and whatever. Right. So we're planning a weekend around hockey. Fast forward to the camp, we're there. He was in that intermediate or the novice group. And I was in the other group, the intermediate group. But we had lunch together. And so to answer your question, Rick, our wives came with us and they were asking, so how was camp? And I was just talking about, you know, what we learned and the skills we were practicing. And then I kind of got quiet and this sounds crazy, I got a little emotional, and I'm thinking, I love hockey. I love everything about hockey. And the fact that I'm spending a whole weekend surrounded by hockey players, all the events of the weekend were around us playing hockey. And it wasn't like an add-on thing to something else already planned. It was the main event. And so I just realized I've loved this sport all my life and nothing changed that weekend. In fact, I fell in love with it more. So that was just on an emotional side of what I learned from Weekend Warriors. It just confirmed my passion for the sport.
Cool.
But just on a technical aspect, just how important skating is to the fundamental of hockey. Like, I'm a decent hockey player, you know, and so I've got in my head, I'm a lot better than I think I am. So that's always, that's always the carrot that dangles in front of me. So I'm just like, teach me. I'm just like a sponge to learn in those, in those damn C cuts, you know? So, I learned, I appreciated it, how wonderful to see a great skater break it down. So just on a technical aspect, just how integral skating is part to the game.
Cool. Thanks, Sonny.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I do have a kind of a follow-up with that, Sonny. So when you grew up playing hockey, did you do organized hockey in any way, or would you consider yourself kind of just out there with your friends, you know, kind of playing, not really getting the, as you mentioned before, kind of the technical aspects of it until maybe later in life?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's so true. Like, I grew up playing street hockey, you know, and in growing up in Canada, the roads were perfect little mini ice rinks. You just ran around. And so we played with these sponge pucks. So never really organized hockey in any sort of youth league or, you know, tots or whatever you call it, mites, little bantams, but never. And mom and dad just never put us into those sports. It was always education, you know, focused on school, et cetera. So I never played organized hockey in any capacity until actually I finished my education, moved down to California and started playing men's rec league. So, it certainly make you fall in love with the sport, just playing it on an unorganized level. But then some of those bad habits of just playing unorganized hockey creep up, and still you're trying to untether them, you know, in my 50s from playing, you know. So yeah, you know, so
yeah, I think that's a topic we hit on quite often is you know, play. I'm in the same boat. I didn't come to hockey until I was older, and I certainly didn't get any technical instruction until I went to Weekend Warriors hockey camp a couple of years ago, and that's after over 10 years of playing hockey and doing a lot of stuff wrong. You know, we've talked about that before, that, you know, and Rob has his ideas on how you get better, and, you know, the idea of practice, obviously, and taking responsibility for your own, development. And it is hard as an adult to learn how to do some of that stuff, but it's amazing to hear stories of people who do it and who stick to it, stick through the rough times, you know, the falling down, the things like that, you know? And, so it's more inspirational to me to hear people who have stories like that. So, good on you for keep doing it.
It's one thing to understand that, like, you're going to fail sometimes. Like, when you're starting out doing something, you're going to fail. It's okay. It's okay. It's like when people as adults, I think sometimes we get a little, afraid to fail. You know, when you're a 9-10-year-old kid, it's okay. But when we become adults, there seems to be a, I don't want to say it's a fear or whatever, but we all have a little pride and ego in us, I guess. But, it's okay to fail that first time and fall. If you've never done an inside or an outside edge. Mm-hmm. We always tell people at camp, you know, don't be afraid to fall, push yourself, get outside that comfort zone. You're never going to feel like you're progressing anywhere if you don't do it. So it's just one of those things that, as adults, I think we just kind of forget that a little bit. And, but yeah, you just got to keep pushing through it.
Yeah. And then, you know, playing men's rec league, you know, you just don't want to be the weak link in the team, right? And so you're always playing it safe. Okay, I'm just going to put the puck in the corner. I'm not going to try to go around two defensemen. And so, and you've got this mentality of just play it safe. Just if, you know, if they don't remember your shift, maybe that's a win, right? You know, so things like that. But,
you know, there's a really good way to get over that. Just bring the beer every week.
Right. Yeah. But then, yeah, then it becomes, well, at least you brought the beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. All right. So Sonny, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, you know, what keeps you motivated? You know, you mentioned you're into your 50s. What keeps you motivated to continue to both play hockey and to play men's league hockey? You know, some people do play, but they don't play league. But, you know, you obviously play league hockey. What keeps you going back?
Well, thanks for reminding everyone my age. What keeps me motivated is, I just freaking love the sport. And I don't suck at it. I'm not like elite by any means. And so I feel I can contribute each and every day, every time I play. So, I love the sport. I love watching it. I love analyzing it. And so, the fact that I want to get better at it just keeps me motivated at it. And then, you know, it's like golf. I just golfed the other day and on the 18th hole, like I parted it and you're like, oh, I am actually maybe have some skills at this. And so you score a goal, you set up a pretty pass, a pretty play. You did a good defensive play or offensive play, and it just sucks you in for the next game and you can't wait. And the whole week, you're just thinking of that game you scored or that play you set up and how much fun you had. And that's just not me. Like you go into the dressing room and you can just see the guys while they're putting on their gear. This, and to a man, they look forward to this 1 hour or an hour and 90 minutes, right? It's like the highlight of their week. I mean, I don't know what their lives are like, but they're all to a man just looking forward to this. So we just, you know, we love the game and that's what keeps me motivated. Just pursuing something I love.
Yeah. It's funny to say that as much as I love to coach and I love coaching, I still love to play. I still love to get out there and you know, I can't play like I used to by any means, but I still love to play. And it's just, it's fun to get out there and be a kid again for 60 minutes and you know, just enjoy the game, the cold air in your face, you know, the sweat afterwards.
Well, I'll say you're talking about how great the sport is. I'll say something that I will frequently say at camp about the game of hockey. It's like, you know, not trying to put down any other sports, but if you want to play, say, soccer or basketball, you need a pair of cleats or a pair of shoes and a ball, and you can go out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening or whatever. There's a court or there's a field. But hockey, we know, especially adult hockey, you know, you're playing at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you're lugging a big bag of gear to the rink, unpacking it, you know, repacking it, taking it back, unpacking it again to get it, you know, not to stink. There's a lot more work. So you have to love the game. It has to be something that you really have a passion for, because yeah, it's not like you can just, you know, walk outside your door, go for a run, go shoot some hoops or something like that. So it's a lot, it, you know, takes a lot more effort.
So the other part of that with adult hockey though is so like, what's your favorite parts? You get to the rink, you're in the locker room with the guys, right? And some of your best conversations happen in that 30 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on when you show up before the game. And the half hour after the game, you guys are just hanging around, maybe having a beer. And, I don't know if you do that as a soccer player, as an adult, and hang around, have a beer afterwards, or even basketball, or, you know, who knows? I don't know, you know, for the other sports, but those are some of the favorite parts for me from still playing is sitting in the locker room with the guys after a game, or, you know, you hear their stories of, geez, today at work, this frigging idiot did this. And I used to play with a guy who was, and he still is a UPS driver, and he tells some of the funniest stories. And that's part of it too. I mean, that's a big part of it for me. Just listen.
Yeah. It's the same joke that just the whole season, you know, you're just running that joke to the ground. But I was going to ask you, Austin, because I mean, I grew up in Canada, and so like hockey's everywhere. And I think Rob, you were from Toronto. So, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? I grew up in Edmonton during Gretzky's heydays. Hockey's in your blood, but I'm so curious, like you, Austin, you came to the sport later. I mean, in America, United States, it's, you know, football, baseball. I'm always intrigued by the American who falls in love with hockey and how you were drawn to that. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, I guess long story short, as a kid, I had family members that lived up in Long Island, and I visited them up there. And that was when the Islanders were winning cups, you know, 19 straight playoff series, stuff like that. So I kind of latched onto it. I grew up in North Carolina, so I didn't play hockey. I didn't really know you could. I skated a couple times in my whole life. But it was a good friend of mine that I met when I was stationed in California as a youngin in the Air Force. And he was from Michigan, and he couldn't afford to play hockey as a kid, but we could finally afford, you know, to kind of get into it. Next thing you know, I'm playing roller hockey, played lots of sports growing up, and it was just the most fun I ever had. You know, there certainly wasn't a bunch of people in the area I was in California that were into hockey. But certainly when I moved to North Dakota, it's basically lower Canada when it comes to the love of hockey. And so that fueled it. A lot of people that did it there. And then I just found, you know, it just kept growing. I think, you know, I grew up in an era where hockey was growing across the country in general. You know, we saw it, you know, whether you link it to the Gretzky trade to Los Angeles and the Southern expansion, you know, and in my lifetime, we got a hockey team in North Carolina. And now we got two down here in Florida that we didn't have, you know, at periods of time. And I think just that's kind of where I came from. It was really just a friend of mine who loved hockey. And I said, hey, I want to do that. So I did.
There's two hockey teams in Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. I got lost there for a second there.
Kind of, you know, the running joke is the Panthers are the most prepared for this. No audience, no fans.
They're used to playing.
Just playing in front of nobody.
MPC, yeah.
It'll work to their advantage for sure.
Yeah, that's harsh. But I'm not a Florida Panthers fan per se, but I wish them the best. So hopefully that answered your question. But
yeah, no, it's awesome. Thanks.
And I'm forever thankful that I got into playing hockey and decided to do it. So let's maybe talk a little bit about, you know, we hit the Weekend Warriors camp thing, and you get taught things there in camp. And obviously the idea is that you'll take them back and you'll practice them. And you mentioned, Sonny, that you do spend time thinking about them still. And I do as well. Still in my head is, you know, Rob yelling at me about my C cuts and all that other stuff. So how often do you get to play each week? And then do you have some type of strategy that allows you to work on those skills rather than just playing in games, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no. You know, before COVID hit, we'd play once a week. That's typical beer league, right? And sometimes you'd have a quirk of the schedule where you have a weekday game. So sometimes you'd play, you know, two times a week, but for the most part, once a week. As far as like honing your skills, you know, it's hard during you got like, I don't know about your league, but we got like a 5-minute warm up before the puck drops, right? And so you're not going to be practicing C cuts at center ice while, you know, your players are warming up, although you try, right? But so, most of the time you're practicing at, you know, stick and puck, whatever you call it. And so that's where I'll try to practice on my skating. Cause you know, I'm not going to just endlessly shoot on the goalie and stick and puck. It's more about skating for me. So that's where I'll practice most of the time. I'm fortunate. I have a little sport court I built off to the side of my house. And so I've got my hockey net set up there, and I'll just snipe and just practice trying to, you know, aim for the corners and the five hole rather than just, you know, trying to shoot for the center of the net. So as far as stick skills, I can do that.
Are you actually sniping or are you attempting to snipe?
I'm attempting to snipe, but every once in a while you're like, ooh, that came off my stick. Yeah.
I was hoping that you were sniping, because that means you've made progress.
Yeah, no. So that's one thing where I've learned with the dry land stuff is just keeping your head up. And this is where, like, for me growing up playing street hockey and ball hockey, and you're just in that confined space of the street. And so your head's always down, right? And so part of my evolution of being a decent hockey player is just trying to keep your head up and just see the ice and see where your teammates are and see where the opposition's at. And so being able to just practice on my own at my house and just keeping your head up while you shoot and actually aim your shot, you know, rather than just blindly throw it at the net, has really helped. But it's hard, man. You know, you all you got is like an hour a week, maybe to skate better and practice. And just, other than that, you know, you're watching videos, and I know other people have come on the show and talked about certain websites that have great tips and tricks to get better at. So anything hockey, I'm all over, you know, Instagram or social media. I'm watching it and trying to get better.
Yeah. Excellent. So yeah. At this point, I'll throw it over for Rick and Rob. Have any other questions that you wanted to specifically talk to Sonny about before I kind of turn it over to him to provide any other information he wanted to or talk about anything?
You were signed up for this year though, right, Sonny? You were coming, right?
No? I hadn't signed up.
I'm putting you on the spot. I know, I'm kidding.
Yeah, my check got lost in the mail somewhere.
I didn't get the link.
Well, and I realized you guys never met because Rob missed Tahoe last year for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Last year was the first time I missed Tahoe, and then obviously this year, but I can't complain because I was in Costa Rica. I mean, it was a tough decision.
Oh yeah.
To make, I know, but you know, I had to do what I had to do.
That's awesome. Yeah. Sorry to miss you, Rob.
So Sonny, anything you wanted to, you know, throw out there, whether it's to fellow Weekend Warriors camp alumni or questions that you wanted to ask any of the real two experts on here, Rick or Rob, or just anything you wanted to pontificate about hockey?
I mean, I play once a week and, you know, now with COVID we haven't played, but Rick and Rob as well, you guys are planning these things, you know, every 2-3 months. Like first of all, I appreciate it. Being at that double camp at Tahoe, Rick, like the amount of coordination and planning that you have to do is unbelievable. I would figure at some point, like, what the hell am I doing this for? Like, this is not even worth it. Because you know some of the yahoos that show up to these camps, right? It's just like I could have been a contender.
They're called coaches.
a double camp is quite a balancing act. It is, and by the end of that weekend, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, how do you keep it fresh? What keeps you motivated to do it? I mean, because frankly, you're hardly on the ice that much, and you're taking pictures. You're behind the scenes a lot. What keeps you motivated? Because you're hardly not even playing hockey during those camps.
Right. So it's funny that you say that. So that was my experience, especially in the early years, that, you know, when I'd have a double camp, I'd be like, I'm on the ice, even though we have 24 hours of ice for a double camp, I'm on the ice less than what I am for a single camp because I'm running all the stuff off the ice and running around like an idiot, you know. Making sure that everything stays organized. So the double camps are the ones that are really good for the bank account, but they tend to be a little bit less fun because they're a lot of work. Now I've got it down a little better. Like last year in Tahoe, I, you know, felt a little bit better, but you know, I mean, sometimes just a single camp that's not, you know, only has, you know, 25 skaters in it. Like all of a sudden that's the enjoyable part of it is getting to meet everybody and getting to learn everybody's names and getting to learn their stories and stuff. So, you know, when you have double camp, you've got we had 70 people there. That's kind of a lot, you know, especially, you know, as I get older, trying to remember all those names, but you got a group of 30 people and it feels more intimate. I kind of like that better.
I can tell you, it wasn't until the year 14 or 15 that Rick stopped worrying about what was going on at camp. We used to have in the early years, we used to have these phone calls about a week out from camp. And he was panicking, but just, I gotta do that. You know, I'm right. I'm right. And,
pre-camp panic.
He's definitely had the under control over the last few years, really, really getting into the rhythm of it. And he does make it run pretty flawlessly.
I want to ask you, Rob, what keeps you motivated to coach? And I mean, dealing with the adult hockey player, you're not coaching kids, right? Who are like eager to learn. I bet you probably got a wide spectrum of players who are like, oh, coach, let me show you how to do something, you know? And so
it's only happened once. And it was true story.
So it's like everyone's got their own opinion and you're dealing with the mature hockey player. So what keeps you motivated and how do you keep it fresh?
Well, same reason you play. It is a passion. We love what we do as coaches. It's fun to see players progress in a short period of time. We get a lot of aha moments at camp. Oh, I didn't realize we're doing that way. And we also understand that you know you might have learned something like this at your rink, and maybe we do it a little differently, terminologies a little differently. So we have to answer and address those questions. But for the most part with adults, what's the great thing is that you are there to learn and become better players. And again, to go, I do kids camps still, but you know, it's a lot easier when your players are motivated and they're not worried about going to the bathroom in the middle of the ice session. Well, maybe it's happened before. I don't know. But, the adults are there to learn. And that's a fun part for us. Like, we see that passion right away. Like, we see how everybody is engaged and everybody wants to become a better player when they come to camp. And that's the fun part for us. How do we keep it fresh? We just try to come up with different ideas. Some of it will, I can't say a lot of it changes in the first session in terms of drills and what we do, but we try to keep things a little bit fresh in terms of doing skills differently or throwing a different drill in there every once in a while. And that part, I was telling Rick this not too long ago, like sometimes I'll just make something up on the spot. And I don't say make it up like I'm making up a drill. It's a drill I have in my head that, okay, you know, with this group, I think this could work. Because the groups do vary from camp to camp. Like, some camps will have, maybe a little more skilled or a little more experienced. I won't say skilled, but a little more experienced as players. And so we can throw in a certain drill that they'll get. And I might not use that at another camp because we kind of have to keep it to the basics. So that keeps it fresh for me, just seeing the varying levels of experience and maybe push the group a little further or knowing when to pull back. It really keeps you on your toes.
Yep. And tying that into like the double camp thing you asked about, Sonny. So when we have the double camp, one of the advantages is, as you know, right, you said you were in the upper group and your friend was in the more novice group. So that's where Rob can, you know, the coaches can put in those drills to push the upper group, you know, and then the novice group can focus on the more novice stuff. So it kind of, you know, we can tailor the camp a little bit more. Although, honestly, we've gotten better over the years in tailoring, even a single camp, in tailoring them by breaking down the groups more and splitting the groups up. So you have, you know, more novice players doing, we're doing the same drills, but you're executing them at maybe at a different level.
Yeah, that was the thing that was kind of interesting is my buddy who was at the lower group, we'd be talking about the same drills. And it's like, oh, okay, you guys are learning the exact same thing we are. And so it just made me realize the fundamentals are as important if you even got a little bit of skill versus, you know, you're still learning the game.
Yep. Yep.
No, I've told this story before in some of the camps and some people have asked me about it. So I've been fortunate enough to be around NHL ranks practices over my career in hockey, as many of our coaches have. And Paul Kariya was always one that interests me because I'd watch him in the warm up. Now, granted, he's got 20 minutes to warm up, but all he would do boards to boards between the blue line and the red line when he first got out on the ice was edge work. So he would do inside edges, outside edges, feel his skates. He was a phenomenal skater. So for the first part of it, he's going out there and he's just doing edge work. He wants to get the feel of his skates, you know, and that just stuck with me over the years. Then here's this guy, an excellent skater, great hockey player, now a Hall of Famer. But he goes out there and the first things he does when he gets on the ice is edge work. I mean, that should tell, everything you need to know right there. And I've also said this before, there's a great video on YouTube. If you go and search Crosby edges.
And yeah, I've seen that.
And what's he doing? The exact same thing we teach you guys right at the beginning of the camp. It's inside edges, outside edges. Mm-hmm. So when I go back to what I said before, the game's the same. The skills are the same. It doesn't matter what level you're at. The skills are exactly the same. And so that's part of what makes it very, very fun and exciting for all of us. And even when we break it down into smaller groups, when we do a certain station, even for a single camp, our coaching staff's good enough. So if we get the more advanced group at one station, they'll actually switch up the station a little bit to make it a little more challenging for that group too, as well. Let's go back to that part of our conversation. But it's fun in that sense. And like you talk about fundamentals from the advanced group to the intermediate group to the beginner group, and you're doing the same skills. It is. It's true. It's the same skills from pro to Mike or Mike to Pro, however you want to say it. You're doing exact same skills.
Yeah. One thing, like after the camp, Rick, you go back and watch an NHL game and you'll see some of those fundamentals being executed at the highest level. Like a couple of these defensemen skating backwards, a couple of C cuts and they're gliding. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh no, they're not gliding. They get up to speed. They're not gliding.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Rob's way of correcting everything we say with the correct terms, which is good on him. I'm glad Rob does that because I'm out there with bad information all the time. So yeah. All right. Well, gentlemen, we're running, I would say long, but really nothing's running long, but we've got a lot of information that we've put out there. So I do want to real quick, see if Rick has a coronavirus update.
Sure. Actually, I'll give you some good news. First thing, I played hockey yesterday, not stick and puck, actual drop in hockey.
Our
rink opened up the rink opened up a couple of weeks ago, but they just changed it where they allowed drop in hockey. And, you know, we got to use the locker rooms and, went out on the ice and there's all these signs out there to say, keep 10 feet. And I'm thinking, hey, this could work to my advantage because I play with a bunch of guys that are better than me. And I'm thinking, I get that puck. They can't take it from me. Well, it didn't work out like that. Anyway, it was fun. But of course, that doesn't, that doesn't help the other players out there that are interested in camps. But I have been in touch with the camps coming up on our schedule. And that's the next one is Ann Arbor, Michigan. So Vail was canceled. That's the end of June. So basically we're canceled through the end of June. But the next ones on the schedule are Ann Arbor, Michigan and Anaheim. I've been in touch with both of those rinks and they're both planning to reopen and we're, planning to move along. So we're just waiting to hear the timeline and the guidelines that we're going to be adhering to. I've also been in touch with the rink at St. Louis. Same thing. So we are looking at resuming for the second half of the season. Basically, the first seven camps were canceled. Two of them were moved to the fall. So we've got 9 camps scheduled from July, August, and September. And we're hoping that all of them are going to be pulled off successfully.
That's great news, Rick. Very happy for you guys to get the season running and get some people into camp. So I did have a quick question, Sonny. Is there any word on when you guys in California might be able to play? Anything?
No, as far as I know, the rinks are closed. You can rent them out for like $400 an hour.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So we were thinking of getting a bunch of guys and renting some ice, but nothing formally open for stick and puck or even free skate.
Well, hoping, keeping fingers crossed for you guys that that won't be far away. So, all right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, Sonny, for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey. We certainly appreciate your passion for the game and for your willingness to come on and get grilled by us, including Rob. And as we mentioned, for everyone else out there, we are going to be moving to an every other week kind of schedule for releasing episodes, especially with Rick and Rob going to be starting traveling here real soon. So as we move further into the summer, we do hope that players all across the world are able to get back playing hockey. And thank you all for listening, and we'll talk again soon. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.